Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we get ready for this Sunday school lesson. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful once again that we can come to you, Lord, and surrender, that we can come to you, Father, to be washed by the preaching of the water of your word, that we can come here and be in your presence. We can come here, Father, and seek for that growth, seek for that healing touch, seek for that refreshing, Father, that was taught about just now of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We ask, Father, that you would just set us this time aside, help us to enter in, Father, into worship, into prayer, into pulling on the preaching of the word, Father, into seeking those things of in your scriptures. We bless you now. We ask you to open up our hearts, Father, and may this word come in and accomplish what you send it out to. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, the Lord. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. God bless you all. So this morning, we're going to be touching on token life, something that the Lord gave me yesterday, two nights ago, actually. The token life, that word just came to me and I did study on, and it is something that it just perfectly fit. It's a continuation of what we just heard now. It's talking about that life, right? That's represented by that seal, that sign, that token, right? That something has happened on the inside. It's a token of grace. It's a seal of promise. That's a subtitle here. So in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 is where we hear that it's in whom ye also trusted. There's two things happening here. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. But there's actually more that happens. It says, in whom, in the same God, also, after that you believed. Not when you believe, but after. There's another work of grace that happens, right? Justification, sanctification, and then the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen. And be touching on here, looking at some examples of where the seal occurred in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And of course, Brother Branham mentioned what it's like to be sealed. What is it, right? What does it do? What it was sent for. But don't lose sight of it that it's, at the end of the day, it's talking about a life. That's why I called it token life. Don't get so caught up with the tangible, you know. In the Old Testament, we'll see types and shadows of physical things that were used to signify that seal. But what was it sealing? What was it signifying, right? And you'll find that it has a lot to do with, in some cases, blood or life and then death, and to be able to obtain that life. That's why I titled it Token Life. Amen. So in the next verse after that, it says, which is the earnest of your inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession. What is it for? It's unto the praise and of his glory. Amen. Something that glorifies him, something that praises him when somebody, one of his own, has received the life, the token, the seal, amen? The Holy Spirit of promise. So in this message, Brother Branham taught about four or so messages called the token or token. And it says, and be true to this token. And it shows that the fare has been paid and we've been accepted for the resurrection, having the token life. The title of the message, Inside of Us. I believe that God gives the Holy Ghost as a token right now, just before the exodus of, look at that sentence, the bride going out of the church. Look at it. The bride going out of the church. I'm not even talking about of the world, but going out of the church. And further on in this message token, it says, now we are living in the shadows and wrath is ready to strike, and God is requiring, since it's a requirement, a token that you yourself, personal revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to you personally, have received this token, the Holy Ghost, right? It's the only way, the only sign that God will ever pass, because it is the literal life, token life of Jesus Christ returned back, the literal life, into the believer. Special, right? Inside. He goes on to say that that's the way it has to be with every believer. If you're a believer here, every believer today, filled with the Holy Ghost, a token that the shed blood of the Lamb, that life that was in the Lamb, was returned back and is publicly sealed in there, that everybody passing by talking to you has any associates with you, has any relationship with you, seeing that that blood has been applied. Reminds me of that song, right? The blood's been applied, let the death angel pass. There's a struggle between life and death, right? The angel was contrary to what was being preserved. That was life. It was a battle between the most extreme. That's what was in the blood. It said, then it says, in the token of the life. See, it's a token that signifies, it's sealing not just anything. It's sealing a life. The literal life of Jesus Christ, it said, or the Holy Ghost. That was in, that blood is now upon you. You are safe from the wrath. That alone. Not a membership, no, sir. That's what it says. Pretty clear. I was just hearing the teaching on the stimulation that comes with the revelation. I just thought that I was about to have a jubilee back there before service. And it's rejoicing, you know. It's just, it's happy, you know. It's a happy message, the Bible message. It's, you know, you go through the struggles in life, but it's a Bible message that we've been taught. And I'm so thankful we can take it back to the Word. And that's what comes out of the pulpit. So I'm appreciative of that, and I'm thankful for the truth, the revelation. And boy, it does give you stimulation. And it helps, takes all the dross out. It's just wonderful. Just rejoice in it. Enter in this later on today when the sermon comes up and the worship. I just invite you just to let loose. Cut loose. Let the Word talk to us. And do. It's a promise. It's a seal of promise. In Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost of God, whereby you are sealed. And Brother Branham says, not until the next revival, not until the day of your redemption. Not till the next revival, until the day of redemption, of your redemption. Amen. And here it says, Genesis 9, in other words, different steps of redemption. Genesis 9, going back to the examples of the Old Testament, it says here, now this is the token of the covenant which I made between me, that's God, and you, and every living creature, this is talking to Noah, that is with you for perpetual generations. See, this is something that happened back with Noah's time, and it is something where only his family, right, was given this promise. It says, I do set my bow in the cloud. It says, in the cloud. And I shall be for a token. It should be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. That's how it first got started, right? With covenants, with seals, with promises. What we see here, particularly with there has been a sign, something that the Lord called it, the word token, in the King James Version anyway. And it is an example of a sign of something special, of life, of preservation of life. Amen? Then it goes on to in other places where you have Abraham here, where the circumcision. See, now it's coming closer to the blood, right? Because it says, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your skin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. So now it's not with the earth anymore, and it's not with God and the earth. It's between God and, in this case, Abraham, right? And we know in the seed, in type. See, then it goes back to, in the case of Moses, we're talking about to the Hebrew children. It says, and he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee. This is to Moses, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Amen. And see, God is going to be with him now. That's right. And then it goes on to a promising to the Israelites, or to the group of the Hebrew. And then it says here in Exodus 12, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plagues shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So here's death coming in, and here's this blood, another death that had to occur to buffer from and to preserve life, right? And that was a seal. It was a covenant, but it was preserving life inside. It was sealing that door. It was sealing those believers. I think the movie The Ten Commandments plays it out pretty good, because there's this chaos outside and inside. You got Moses and Aaron, and they're preparing their dinner, they're eating bitter herbs or whatever they were doing, but they're humming and they're singing and there's just such a peace inside. That's how we feel sometimes when we're shutting with God, right? The problems are outside. You know, the humanity, our nature is still out there, your personality, different traits that you still battle with, right? People can be skittish, people can be overconfident, proud. You got different extremes in a lot of these topics in life. But it's just good to know, but it is well with my soul, right? And then that this word came to bring portions of the Bible which were sealed and have now been revealed. And seeing the messenger came, and he himself, many things were revealed to him, but one of the things that was revealed to him and the bride pretty close to at the same time was when it came, you know, through God into him, but it was the night before, the day before, when these seals were being taught on, that they were truly revealed to him. It was supernatural. Amen. So in the Old Testament, you also have a type of a sign, a seal that they put on their foreheads or on their hands. That's because of Exodus 13:16. It says, "And it shall be for a token upon thine hand and the frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of hand of the Lord, for the strength of the hand of the Lord brought us out of Egypt." Right? And here's a depiction here of how they put portions of God's word. It's called a tefillin, and they tie it up on their hand, and they tie it up on their forehead. Of course, we know that's literal, right? It's a remembrance. It's a type of, you know, having the word of God. In many psalms, it says before you, right? To keeping the word before you. And then also to keeping our actions in check, what we do with our hands. It's a type of, but it's a seal to them. See, that's a type, it's a shadow of what seals are. This is what it looks like. But you can see up close, they actually have that same thing that they have up here. They actually have it in here. It goes in, it connects all the way to their hand when they're praying or when they're reading, etc. And again, these are types and shadow, but I want to touch on this one for Rahab. This one's pretty near and dear, because it talks about, "Now therefore I pray you." This is Rahab. But see, what you got to remember about Rahab before she puts a seal on her window, and before I read the scripture, I want to say two things about her, is in the verses before in Joshua chapter 2, verse 12, on the verses before, I think it's just, it starts in 9, I believe. She talks about how, "I know that your Lord is the one that delivered, you know, out of the land, delivered your land out of the hand of the enemy." And she starts like basically preaching unto the spies and says, "I know, I've heard." And then she says, "I've heard." Right. "I know and I've heard." And then later on she says, "Your God is God and he's the God of heaven." Amen. And then he says, "Now I pray you." Let's read it. "I pray." This is what was said after all these things. So she believed. It says, "I pray you, I swear unto me, by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token." See that beautiful pulling out. It's like she's saying that that's nothing but the truth. She's saying that's really pulling on the word right there. Right? And she was actually saying it, proclaiming it, but she was also believing it in action, because she did cover them. She did protect them from dying. They're actually being sealed in the house of Rahab. And it says, "And ye will save alive." Look at what she wanted to ask for. "My father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have." You know that promise that says you and your family? Keep that proclaim over them. Keep that token life over them. Amen. "And deliver our lives from death." And see, it's a seal that's protecting life. Amen. And here it is. "And she said," in verse 21, same chapter, "According unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet lion in the window." The lineage of where Jesus Christ came through, right? In the natural. And see, that was a seal. And you know what it did? When the death angel came by, if you will, when not the death angel, but you know, when death came to that. I don't know if this is fact or not, but I do recall they were spared. I don't know if everyone else was killed. But, the city was brought to ruins, right? Right. And she was safe. And not just her. Right. Get that now. Right. Not just her. There was a promise for the family. I think that's special. And again, you would have thought of her as a Rahab, right? You would have thought of her as an improper woman. And God can do a lot, right, when somebody does believe and goes through its justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then that when we may be glorified, and we have that glorification too. See, in the New Testament, I want to hone in on this verse, because if Paul even had a seal in the natural, right? It's overlooked, but he says, the salutation of Paul with mine own hand, and he said it multiple times, right? Which is the token, he says, in every epistle. So I write, you know, he probably wrote in big, bold letters, I don't know, but it's probably very distinguishable. I can just imagine, you know, Paul being so bold, but he's calling that a token. But see, there's something in there too. There's a prophet that later came in and says, I taught the same things he taught. That was his question when he went beyond the curtain of time. He says, wait, does Paul have to be judged too? His, you know, the token that he wrote with his big handwriting and all that, did that have to be judged too? I taught the same thing he did. And you already made it, amen. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, amen. But you see, somebody had to bring the true revelation of what Paul taught, right? I mean, we drove by, and my brother-in-law was mentioning, there was a church, some sort of Catholic church, and it said, you know, St. Paul's and this and that, and then other buildings said, Paul, Paul, Paul. And, you know, Paul did write, you know, the epistles, right? And much of it. And in the New Testament, and then there's a letter, right? There's just a letter that pertains to the church. And then there's portions that pertain to the bride. It's like when an inheritance is given out. And someone gets this, another one gets that. It's the same death, and it's the same testament. But there's different portions in it. Yeah. And it's just beautiful to have that open up to you. That, you know, the Lord does call you to get saved. The Lord, you know, be saved and justified. The Lord does call you to walk your sanctification walk. And that time, sometimes that takes time. I know it did for me. And then, but then when he gets that box cart ready, right, that train, like Brother Bannon talked about, that he doesn't seal it until it's inspected. But then once he puts that seal, nobody can open it up, not even himself, until the destination. Right. Amen. So in Philippians here, there's a seal that's taught about too, about, you know, in the negative way, like people that are sealed to perdition, it says here, evident token of perdition, but to us at salvation. And just to wrap it up here, in Ephesians 1, it says, in whom you also trusted, is the verse I read earlier, but let's go to 2 Thessalonians. It's going back in circles here. So Brother Branham talking about the token. It is a barrier, shows that the price is paid. If Satan tries to hand you, you think of this. If Satan tries to hand you some sickness, or tries to hand you something, not just sickness, you know what to do. Show him your token. Sure, sickness strikes the Christian. Show him your token and prove to him that you're a purchased product of God, the purchased possession, it said earlier in the Bible. Resist the devil and he will flee. Amen. Hold the token over your unmovable faith in his promise. Word. Amen. It's his token that he gives unto us, but it's his word, it's his seal, and it's sealing that life, and it's doing a Bible step, right? That to, where the Holy Spirit comes in and seals the life and seals it for his purposes here on this earth and to come. It says, and also God in sundry times he sent forth the prophets, when each time come for those things to happen, for that age he sent forth prophets, and the word of the Lord always comes to prophets, the prophets for that age. And each time, only thing that prophet did was manifest exactly the promise for that age. You know, there's got to be the first wave, right, that comes out from the harvest. And we have here on the token. And now it's already laid out. Same message here. It just takes someone to come on the scene and manifest those promises. Faith in the call of God. Amen. It's a Bible thing that we come to being shown here. It's a Bible message. Just like there's been growth and development over the Old Testament and then the New Testament. And now just like the 144 have their portion. And I'm just so thankful that we're standing in the truth. We're standing in the world, word revealed. But I'm going to talk to him. This is a Thanksgiving message he was given. And he says, I'll tell you, it's not a tradition, not at all. We go too many, he says, we got too many traditions. What we need today is a refreshing, Brother Branham was mentioning that, a baptism of the Holy Spirit back in the church, not a celebration, but a filling. Then that ought to be your Thanksgiving day. It was for me, celebration, as we would call it. It says, it ought to be the Holy Spirit coming into our lives. If we could eat a turkey like our fathers did eat, we ought to receive the Holy Spirit, it says, like the fathers had. Amen. Not a tradition, but a commandment from God. We should receive it. Now, I'm so thankful that this Holy Spirit life that we've been a partaker of, that does many things that sometimes we're not even aware of, that it just rejects so many things that of the world and all that, that inside you're sealed. There's just so many things that are not even a question. And they're just sealed away. And the life is sealed in. This life has struggles, but nothing can touch that soul once, not just salvation or sanctification now, but when you've been sealed with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's a work of grace, and when you're a recipient of it, it is just something that does in for you. You're still going to go through the struggles, but inside, there's that life. Amen. And Brother Branham taught about it. The Bible talks about it. Brother Branham talked about this card being sealed. It says, when the government puts a seal upon the package, the railroad puts a seal on a door, and it cannot be tampered with until it reaches destination. When God puts a seal, his seal upon man, and the seal is the Holy Spirit, pretty clear. When he seals a man like that, he is going to his eternal destination. Amen. What a rest. What a peace. What a tranquility in our inner being, right? It says, never no more can he ever go back anymore. Because remember, Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you were sealed for all times. It says, see, you are sealed forever. You are sealed eternally into the kingdom of God by the Holy Spirit. Now think of that. And here's the scripture that he mentioned, read out completely. It says 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know, the word are is now. And I'm thankful that the word of God is Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I love it when he speaketh, like, you know, thou giveth. And to me, it's like you gave, you give, and you will continue to give. Now, that word is the word that is and was and is to come. In some of the older Spanish version, that before the 1960 version of the King James equivalent in Spanish, it's even older. It uses a lot of, I forgot what it called it, but it's like a perfect verb that talks about in time. And it can be related to where it's a word that's spoken, but it means you gave, you give, and you will give. And sometimes you are sealed by God's grace. You know, God can speak it into those by choice are predestinated to this call. Token life. May God bless you and have a wonderful service. Let's rejoice this morning. Praise the Lord.